And welcome to our show today. We have an amazing guest who has seen everything. And she's going to be here, Dr. Jodi Joseph, to help you and to help all of us to kind of make sense of what's going on during the holiday season and how to deal with those not so helpful family members and guests who come to your home and don't listen. So without much further ado, let's talk to Dr. Jodi Joseph. First, I'd like to welcome you to the show and thank you so much for being here within your very, very tight, constrained schedule of all the millions of things that you do. Good morning, Dr. Joseph.
Thank you so much for having me, Janice.
You're very welcome. So, Dr. Jodi, as you like to be called, Dr. Jodi has a really wonderful background with animals, with behavior, with going to different islands and helping with spay neuter in other, well, continents. And she's been an animal lover since she was a little kid. I'm going to let her fill you in on that. But one of the interesting things that has always fascinated me with Dr. Jodi is her availability, which is evidence because she's here today to help all of us and all of you listening to make your not only holidays better, but safer for your pets. First, Dr. Jodi, can you give us a little bit of a background on what you've done through your life?
Sure, Janice. Well, I just want to kind of start out with I graduated vet school in 2017. And since then, I've been, you know, working as an emergency vet. I've been focused in oncology as well as hospice end-of-life care, kind of wear lots of hats, if you would. And so really my expertise is in kind of those life or death critical illness situations as well as, you know, when do we determine when we should really be aggressive with treatment, more conservative with treatment, or make some quality of life decisions. So that's kind of my spectrum of care. And so I see the really hard stuff, but I can also see some of the really good stuff too.
That's one of my favorite things about you. And just to mention that Dr. Jodi graduated Cornell and survived 4 years of Hoss with the cold, brutal temperatures still continuing on when others, I guess, quit because it was cold as heck up there. So, Dr. Jodi, if we can start first off about I'm very astute, obviously, because of what I do and how many animals I have and for how many years with horses and dogs and rabbits and all that. However, most people are not like you and I, where we've just been exposed to so much over so long that we kind of get that good feel for things. And one of the biggest things I see with my behavior patients and even just people in general is common veterinary emergencies that people don't know if it's important or not and how to prevent them. And one story that comes to mind, because I've traveled all over as well, I had a client or patient, if you would, the clients, the writer, are always the humans and the patients are the animals. And I had a client in California who called me at, well, their time was midnight. For me, it was 3 a.m. And I thought it was kind of odd, and I happened to have had that number saved into my saved contact. So I saw this person. I said, gee, this is random to be calling somebody at 3 a.m. And she hung up. So I called back and I said, you know, hi, I saw, I didn't know if it was a missed call. And she said, oh, no, I had a quick question for you, but it can wait till the morning. And I said, well, I'm here now. Tell me what you're thinking. She said, well, my dog just got into my purse. And as soon as those words came out of her mouth, I knew exactly where it was heading. And she said, and he broke open a bottle of my pain pills, but I'm not sure if he ate any or how many. So, but I was figuring I'll go in the morning to my vet and see. And I said, your dog may not be alive in the morning. Get off the phone, bring the contents of your purse, run to the doctor, to your local emergency vet. Tell them that the dog ingested pills and pain pills. And, you know, she went through that. She did all that. And she called me back that evening. I guess it was maybe 6 or 7 hours later. And she said, the vet said that if I had waited till the morning, that my dog would have already been dead. Thank you, thank you. And I think that illustrates that people don't want to bother somebody else, or people don't really understand what is and what isn't an emergency, and how do you prevent these common emergencies like a dog getting into your purse or a cat getting into your purse. What can we as pet owners do to prevent that from ever happening in the first place, Dr. Jody?
That's a great question, Janice. So, you know, when it comes to emergencies, they never happen during business hours. They're never, you know, I mean, sometimes they're during business, quote unquote, business hours. But the reality is, if your pet does something that you think might be alarming, you should probably be alarmed. If you're like, ooh, should I go in? Should I not? It's never wrong to call your local ER clinic and say, this is what's going on with my pet. Do you think we should bring them in or not? And they may say, we can't give you medical advice over the phone, but we do recommend you seek veterinary attention, whether it's now at 3 a.m. or waiting for your clinic to open at 8. They'll kind of guide you. So if you're like, ooh, I don't know if I should go in, phone a friend, right? Message your vet friend from high school that you haven't talked to in 20 years on Facebook. I don't know if they're going to be able to give you information right away. So if you are concerned, you know, reach out to your local emergency care, you know. And a lot of urgent care vets are popping up in the area as well. And so the difference between an emergency versus urgent care, it's just like human medicine. I've got a cut. I've got a UTI, maybe an ear infection, or maybe something that seems like I want to take care of it sooner rather than later, but my dog isn't in critical condition. Those are what those urgent cares are for. They're usually a little bit quicker, usually more efficient, sometimes more cost-effective depending on the area. And they're for those, well, my dog is sick, but my dog isn't dying. Those are really helpful, those urgent care clinics. And I would say know where you are in your geography. Google, you know, nearest veterinary urgent care, veterinary emergency is near me. And maybe like write a little post-it note and stick it on your refrigerator. Have a plan in the event of an emergency or an urgency, where would I want to go?
Well, that's really good.
If it's something that you're like, I think I need to deal with this right away, just bring your dog in. Things like labored breathing. You know, if your cat is panting, it's never normal. Cats should not pant. If you're, look at your dog's gum color. If it's blue or kind of, you know, muddy color, if your dog is stretching their neck out and they're panting excessively and they seem like they can't breathe, that cannot wait. It could be their heart. It could be their lungs. They could have fluid somewhere that they shouldn't. They could be, you know, going into some type of imminent crisis that needs emergent attention. You know, if your pet's belly is distended and they're a large breed dog and you're worried that their stomach could have flipped, we're worried that their stomach could have flipped. Time is of the essence. And so, you know, every little thing isn't an emergency, but know if something is not sitting well with you and seems abnormal, I'd rather be on the side of action and proaction rather than reaction. Also know your pet's breed. There are certain breeds that are predisposed to certain diseases. And so knowing that you have a French bulldog knows that their anatomy is different, that, you know, they can get, you know, an airway crisis at any moment. You know, knowing that you have a Doberman means that they can be predisposed to heart disease, predisposed to bloat where their stomach flips and twists on itself. And so really know, and if your dog is a mixed breed, knowing if they're small versus large dog even, different emergencies that may come depending on the size of the pet. If you have a cat and they're male and they're having some urinary symptoms and it's around the holidays, their bladder could be obstructed, and that could be a life-threatening medical emergency. So bring them to the clinic. If they're making multiple trips to the box and they can't urinate, that's an emergency. So kind of know what you have and then what, you know, what could be wrong with that pet. I hope
that's awesome, Dr. Jody. That ties into exactly what I was just going to get to, was holiday hazards, because I think people don't realize, and also the differences between the different species of animals. What might not be a problem for a dog might be a huge problem for a cat. What might not be a problem for a cat might be a huge problem for a rabbit. You have to be familiar with whatever species of animal you have. Just the same as, you know, even with people. People can handle Tylenol, but dogs can potentially be killed by it. It's a very different thing. And a lot of times I find that people say, oh, can I just use, I have this for me, will it work the same for my pet? And the answer is usually no. check it out. Go to your vet. You know, what Dr. Jody says is so important. I always believe, and we've talked prior and we'll talk again about emergencies. We need to have an emergency kit for our pets. We should learn more because once you have that pet, especially if you're going camping, you're away, it's during the holidays, you're busy, make sure that everything is safe for that pet and that there's nothing that can be left around, if there's no medication. If you know that your animal likes to counter surf or you have a nosy cat, put your bag up in a closet or put it somewhere where the animal can't get to it. I know one of the things with cats is that cats tend to play with garlands and those little cute little shiny ribbons of things. And Dr. Jody, can you just tell us kind of quickly about the holiday hazards with cats versus some of the holiday hazards with dogs? Because God knows they're quite different.
Well, I will say the theme that kind of the overall theme is what's in your mouth, I think is a really good, like, if you have to ask what's in your mouth, we're already in trouble. and so, like, you know, to Dennis's point, is cats like to eat the tinsel and they like to knock things off trees and then, you know, things shatter and they can cut themselves. Dogs also like to play with trees. I don't want to, you know, be speciesist. Dogs can also, you know, pee on your Christmas tree and knock it over. So, you know, if you're lighting your Hanukkah candles, you don't want your cat to knock them over and cause a flammable situation. So do things that are safe. Some families will put up a baby gate around their holiday around their holiday supplies to minimize animal interaction with them. Another hazard I would say is a big hazard is the people during the holidays. And I don't want to disrespect your in-laws, but when there's higher traffic around the holidays, what we experience is that, you know, pets may become higher stress with, you know, with family coming in and out, or maybe your pet is going into a boarding facility or your pet is going to a pet sitter or something. And sometimes things can go wrong when there's been some type of drastic change. For dogs, they can get what we call it, or different names for it, but essentially they can get a lot of bloody diarrhea. They can vomit stress. The stress can kind of trick their immune system into a different cascade of events where they end up, you know, in the ER clinic because they have severe bloody diarrhea because their gut microbiome has changed due to that, you know, stressful event of everyone in town or family members that shouldn't feed them things that don't normally agree with them. And they're like, I don't usually get this off the Thanksgiving table, but today I get it. And now all of a sudden I'm sick. You know, cats tend to be more, their stress manifests more in their urinary tract. And so they can develop cystitis, which is inflammation of their bladder. They can develop crystals and stones. They can actually cause that obstruction we talked about earlier. And that's more common in cats. Foreign bodies tend to spike this time of year because everyone's wrapping their presents. Everyone's, you know, the house is in array or disarray because we're trying to get it ready for family and we're ingesting things that we normally wouldn't have access to. And so I, as a husky owner, my kitchen counters are spotless. Yes, I'm a clean freak, but I also don't trust my husky, who's a very good husky. People say, oh, your dogs are so good. No, I just don't give them any opportunity to be bad.
That's really the thing, Joe, is the people to understand that it's not that a dog is perfect and has never done something, or a cat has never done something. It's the stress of the holidays. It's the just newness, the novelty of the different things that we have at that time. So even if you have the best dog in the world, and Jody, you know, everybody comes in and goes, I got the best, fill it in the blank, cat, dog, hamster, gerbil, whatever, in the world. But in that moment, because you haven't, let's say, gone through a full year with that animal, or the animal is just going through kind of a novelty phase where it says, ooh, look, there's something up there I've never smelled. It's, even though your dog, typically with dogs do it, even though it's the best dog in the world, it's never done that, it doesn't mean that it won't. I always love that phrase, past performance is no guarantee of future result with the investments. And it's very much the same with animals. So to Dr. Jody's point, don't leave things out just because your pet is okay with it every other day of the year, because on that day, it might not be. And you definitely don't want to be running on Christmas or New Year's or during the holiday season, Thanksgiving, et cetera, to a vet and kind of ruining your plans and hopefully having your pet still be okay. We're going to talk a little bit later in the show about that, but it is so important for everybody to be conscious of what is okay and what is okay, and not taking for granted the fact that your pet has always been great in that situation. Still use the same precautions you would with a puppy, and you'll be a lot safer. Dr. Jody, I have one more thing that I want to ask you because I know your time is very valuable. I wanted to, if you could just expound on some of the last-minute tips to keep pets safe during the holidays and beyond, including not just the people, because I'll go into that later, but into the actual items, objects, things that you have a husky that you know that I with my Ridgebacks don't necessarily know. Explaining a little bit about that, like what can people do to keep their pets safe physically from having ingesting objects or foreign bodies or getting cut? How can they keep their pets safe at this time?
Yeah, so safety, I think, kind of starts with knowing what your pet's not only physical needs are, but their emotional needs are. If they're a high anxiety dog and you're bringing all these family members in, call your vet, not the day before Thanksgiving, but call them, you know, this week and say, I'd like to maybe talk about my dog's anxiety medication plan and go to your GP, and maybe you need to fill a little bottle of Trazodone to get through the holidays. Maybe we all need a little bottle of Trazodone to get through the holidays, and that's okay. There's no shame. And, you know, maybe it's that your pet is a breed that tends to like to ingest socks and underwear and things, and making sure that you're being more deliberate about, you know, the laundry baskets locked up, not just in a closet, but in a closet that they can't get access to. You know, making sure that, you know, your pets are, if you partake in cannabis or edibles, don't, if you have edibles in your house, your pet has access to them, period. Unless they are locked with a face ID or a key or a number code, your dog has access. They like to eat edibles just as much as you do. We as vets don't care. We're not going to bring you to jail if you fess up. But if you notice that your dog acts a little bit different and all of a sudden you're concerned, that's another common emergency we love to see around the holidays. It can be very treatable, but prevented in the first place, put in the highest cabinet, locked up, where not even your kids could get to it if they tried. You know, kind of plan ahead and say, well, I want to maybe have a little emergency action kit if my dog were to get cut, having, you know, some bandaging supplies if you're in the human nursing field and you think you would be comfortable managing, you know, something. Dogs also like to get into altercations with each other during this time of year because everything is very overstimulating. So if you have animals that tend to be reactive over certain resources, make sure they're separated during the time when, you know, holiday dinners are taking place. Because once someone drops that turkey leg, all bets are off. another thing about safety I want to mention, not only holidays but and beyond, a lot of people tend to get puppies and kittens and animals during this time of year as a gift to a loved one. And I want to encourage you to understand that that gift is not just a gift for the holidays, it's a gift for the next 10, 15, 18 years. And so a lot of the shelters, a lot of the rescues are in dire crisis right now. They're very overcrowded, very overwhelmed. And a really great gift you can give your loved ones is the opportunity to foster a rescue or foster a shelter animal to see if they fit in your lifestyle. And that foster can turn into an adoption after you have that chance to process, is this really right for our family? So that pet doesn't end up back in the shelter. So you don't get a puppy, and then 3 to 6 months later, you know what, it just doesn't work for us, and now you have to bring that dog back. And then they're worse off than when they started. So really understand the commitments. If you have a senior animal and you think that a puppy is exactly what they need, know your senior animal, because that puppy may be the best thing in the world for them, or it might be their absolute nightmare. depending
on. Well, kind of that thing where you have, you know, the grandparents who want the kids there, but then the kids, well, you know this, Jody, and then the kids are kind of nightmares themselves, and the grandparents can't wait for the parents to take the kids back. So it's better to start out a little bit with like a half hour babysitting to see if the grandparents survive it. And then after that, you can see how it works out from that point.
Yeah, like doing a trial, a lot of rescues and shelters, you know, they really want to find homes for their loved ones for the holidays. But fill out your foster applications now. Help them out, because there's so many animals who were probably holiday puppies during COVID, and now all of a sudden they're not wanted anymore. And consider adopting, you know, an adult or older animal, so that way you can give them the best life ever. And they may only be 2 to 3 years old, and you may get 10 to 15 years with them. Then you get rid of all those crazy puppy things that a lot of people get frustrated with, the housebreaking and the chewing and the things that, you know, the things that cause danger for a pet. Some of them, as they get older, some of those dangers become less and less dangerous. And so if you're considering giving your loved ones another loved one for the holidays, maybe think about, you know, what do we want the next 3 to 6 months, year, 5 years, 10 years to look like? And really consider, you know, what is the best fit for our family? And not just age-wise, but breed-wise. And if you have a good shelter rescue near you, they can help you, counsel you, and match you. And if you say, well, all I want is a golden doodle, then you better have done your homework about, you know, their grooming needs, their behavioral needs, their medical needs, their personality quirks. And, or, you know, all I want is an Aussie, Australian Shepherd. Well, I hope you have a yard to give them the space that they need and deserve. So really do your homework before, you know, because that does play into hazards. I know there are certain breeds that are predisposed to certain cancers and certain emergencies. And so you've got a lab golden shepherd, husky, large breed dog, and they're older and they're arthritic. And, you know, do your annual wellness exam. Make sure everything is okay, because what you don't want is to find that they actually have a tumor in their spleen, you know, and it's Christmas Day and now you're making this awful decision, you know. So be proactive. Do your preventative care with your loved ones. Get to your GP if they have openings, and make sure that your dog and their blood work is okay, that their imaging is up to snuff. So then, you know, going into the holidays, you have some peace of mind that, you know, there are certain things that, you know, we could try to get ahead of, instead of, you know, what you were talking about earlier, that emergency action plan. I know every emergency under the sun, and I know every single one of my pets and how I would handle that emergency.
And that's really important. Yeah, and Dr. Jody, that's so important for people, and that's what we talk about on our show every week, just for you to prepare, because, you know, you'd say, like, I have a number of books I've written. One of them, it's about basically people who did dumb things in getting pets. And one of my favorites is the lady who was in her early 80s, had a double hip replacement, and her daughter and grandkids thought, because she was lonely and her husband had passed, they thought, well, gee, we're going to get you a puppy. They got her a golden doodle puppy, an 8-week-old puppy. The woman had just come out of a double hip replacement. What were they thinking? So you got to, like Dr. Jody is saying, and a lot of you guys can go see the Meet the Breeds at Westminster this year, which we'll be at again, as always. It is try to see what fits into your life. It's kind of like picking a marital partner. You don't go and say, oh, look, that guy is very cute, or that woman has a good physique, I like that, but everything else I'm going to forget about. You have to include everything. It's a marriage. And the hard part is about having a pet. It's a marriage, typically not just with one person and the animal. It's maybe a husband, a wife, kids, or roommates or friends, and not everybody wants the animal or likes the animal. So you really need to sit down and discuss that with people around you and make sure everybody's on board. It doesn't mean you aren't going to do it, but I always say too, like Dr. Jody, getting through the puppy years, that first year, is when so many people wind up not wanting to continue on, because it's a lot of work to have a puppy. It's like having a newborn. So if you look at it and you say, you know, I'd like to get my kids a pet, you can also start with a bunny rabbit. You don't have to start with a dog, there are different things that are required of each species. And, you know, it's like with horses, because I've had so many horses in my life, too. I had 120 horses at one point on my farm. And I used, when people would come and the families would say, hey, you know, we want to buy our daughter, you know, a horse. And I'd say, guess what? Your daughter's going to work for the summer at my place, and she's going to do it for free. And at the end of the summer, if she still wants a horse, you can lease her one. And then if she still wants a horse after a year, then you can go buy her one. 90% of the time, the kids never follow through. It's boyfriends, it's girlfriends, it's whatever it is. And it's the same thing with a pet, except the pet can't leave on its own, right? Dr. Jody, isn't that what we see all the time, that the people really don't deserve the animals, and then their situation creates that very issue that they don't like? My dog is hyper. Well, stop having, you know, teenagers running in and out and blasting music and, you know, trying to get the dog high, because that is not something that is conducive to a good life for not only for you guys, but for the pet. So be mindful about that. Be thoughtful and intentional in your thought process about, hey, I think I'd like to try a pet. And to Dr. Jody's point, it's always great to contact your local rescue, a little easier than sometimes dealing with the shelters, because shelters want to adopt more because they tend to get the brunt of it. But your local rescue, and do, you know, check on Yelp reviews and, you know, Google and all that. Check with friends who've adopted and contact them and say, hey, I'm looking to be a foster failure. And a foster failure is basically when somebody fosters a pet and then they decide that they don't want to give it back because they love the pet. But it's a great way of making sure, it's kind of like renting a car, you know, when you go on a vacation, you rent a car for 2 weeks and you go, wow, I really like that car. It's better than saying, I'm going to go buy a $50,000 car and hate it. So you can test it out and you'll be helping other people, even the vacation fosters when the regular fosters go away for a couple weeks. There are a lot of options, and I appreciate Dr. Jody bringing that up. Your one final comment, Dr. Jody, for people during this holiday season, what is the one overarching thing that you can say, please, people, do this or don't do this? What is that?
Ooh, so that's a great question, Janice. If I could, like, part you with one more, you know, pearl of wisdom, I think it would be, you know, and this is going to come from kind of my my other hat that I wear, but enjoy your human-animal bond. It is absolutely sacred, because this holiday season with our loved ones, you never know what's going to happen next holiday season or next holiday season. So enjoy the time that you have with your current pets or future pets. Hold that space sacred. Have fun, but make sure that they're safe. You know, I mean, you don't have to go around and tighten every light bulb and plug in every socket and go too crazy, but think about it as, you know, pets are still pets. We love our pets dearly. They're part of our family. But if don't put them in an unsafe situation. Don't set them up for failure. Set them up for success. And then you guys can have the best holidays ever, whatever your spiritual practices are, you know, and enjoy that time with them. Give them something special, but don't give them something that's going to upset their belly. You know, make sure that they're not exposed to things that are potentially dangerous. And if you're not sure if it's dangerous, especially in Christmas time, all the plants that come out, you know, just Google it. If you're not sure before you buy it, Google it. Is this dangerous for my dog or cat or goldfish? You know, and if it looks like it might be dangerous, it's dangerous. Don't allow it in your household, or allow it in a place that is not accessible to your pets, which would be probably in the trash can, which they could still get into. So, you know, make sure they're safe, you know, safety first. I think that's everything. And making sure they're safe so you can enjoy that bond that you have with them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jody. I'm really excited that you were kind enough to spend so much time with us today. And we definitely want to have you on the show again. We'll talk about next time Dr. Jody is here about some of the other hats she does wear. But for right now, Dr. Jody, you have probably saved some lives. You've certainly educated a lot of the people who are listening to today's show. And we are just beyond grateful to you for not just for being here today, but for being the person you are and just being out there to save animals and to keep us from doing dumb things that are going to hurt our animals.
Well, thank you for having me, Janet. It's been such an honor. So always happy to help when I can.
Thank you, Dr. Jody. Have a wonderful holiday as well. A safe one, but you know how to have a safe one, so your pets will be fine. Thank you so much again, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, Janice.
And thank you so much for our guest, Dr. Jody Joseph, who was just wonderful at getting all those important topics covered. And for everybody to understand, we want you to enjoy your holiday season, but it's not fun when your dog or cat has an issue because of something that happened due to the holiday season. So we can continue along with how to keep not just your pet safe, but how to keep your guests, your family members, we'll call it compliant, with your rules. Now, everybody, I don't care who somebody is, everybody likes to get away with things. You like to get away with doing something that you're maybe not supposed to do, put your hand in the cookie jar, grab that extra chocolate chip cookie. I think humans are just programmed to not want to follow rules. And unfortunately, when you start adding a big family into that, and the family, maybe, you know, grandpa, well, he likes to spoil the dog, and grandma, she, well, I don't mind if he jumps on my leg. And that's the problem, though. We can't allow that. So if you tell your guest, grandpa, please don't do that, I guarantee you grandpa is going to do it anyway. I guarantee you that if you tell people, don't give the dog any turkey, they're going to sneak the dog turkey. I remember as a kid, my brother and I used to sneak whatever vegetables we didn't like to our dog Charcoal. And he would always be sitting by us and we would just, oops, drop the string bean we didn't like. Well, a lot of times it doesn't matter, but a lot of times it does, because there are things that animals are sensitive to, and cats and dogs are different in that, as are many other animals. For instance, onions. And especially with onions, onions are one of those weird things that if a dog eats onions one time and gets it out of its system, it's less harmful than if it eats that same volume of onion, but over a smaller, let's say incrementally over a course of a month or two. The reason that happens is just physiologically, animals don't process things the way we do, which is also why you have to be careful not to utilize dog medicine for cats or cat medicine for rabbits, because every species has a different metabolism and a different need and uptake of all of these chemicals and of all of these things that are being, you know, infiltrated into their diet. Now, one of the things I do think is important along lines of, you know, hey, when your guests are coming, if you know somebody typically brings a houseplant, there are things like lilies that are highly toxic to cats, poinsettias, which are, you know, the ultimate probably Christmas plant, those, the sap inside, it's like that milky white sap, is highly toxic to animals. It's not great for us either, but we don't typically, you know, chew on poinsettia. But things like that, if somebody gives you something like that, you know, you can put it up on your mantle if you have a fireplace. Put it up on a shelf. If you have a cat, make sure that you're keeping the poinsettia or the lilies kind of away from them. But make sure that if you feel you can't kind of moderate it and you can't keep them away from it, then put it into a different area where that animal can't be. Even, you know I always like to bring plants and flowers to places, but I'm very aware of, you know, as what I do, I'm aware that, you know, don't bring poinsettias, don't bring snake plants, don't bring lilies, because certain things are more toxic than others. If you are invited to Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever it is, New Year's party, and you typically like to bring flowers or houseplants, go on to the internet the great thing that you can look up pretty much anything. Don't go on the first one and say, oh, that one sounds good, because you don't know who's putting these things up on the internet. But look at some of these places, look at some of the good forums, and ask, hey, is it okay for me to bring a philodendron? Is it okay for me to bring whatever plant it is? And a lot of times you'll see that those are toxic. You can also use your local vet, because, again, most of them will have a list of like 100 plant poisons or, you know, 50 worst toxins for your pet. And they have these brochures actually at your vet hospital or your local, you know, vet clinic. And you can ask them. They'll know. You can call your vet and say, hey, you know, I'm going to a family who has a cat and a dog. I wanted to bring flowers or a houseplant. Which ones are safe? So be aware of that. And then you should also, as a pet owner, you should know some of the things that might be toxic to your pet. So if somebody, you know, didn't check it and they're bringing something, you know, if you can display that proudly, or if you've got to kind of hide it in the back room somewhere where your pet isn't going to get to it. The other thing is that I notice ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies, when they have a big pocketbook, a big bag with whatever it is, or a briefcase for the gentleman, sometimes what'll happen is you'll keep an extra thing of, let's say, Tylenol in there. You'll keep something that, a candy, a chocolate bar, a muffin, whatever you guys have in there, and snacks. Remember that if it's reachable and if the animal can get to it, it's a potential danger. So maybe have, you know, your people put something in a back bedroom, which I always felt was really great. Put their coats, their bags, everything in there, in the back room, locked, and make sure you don't have a cat or a dog in there. And this way, you know it's safe. Now, going into kind of how to keep your guests and families compliant with your rules, if your dog is on, let's say, a wheat-free diet because he's got allergies, which is not uncommon at all, if somebody comes and they're eating stuffing, let's say, or pretzels or whatever, you can actually have, for those non-compliant grandma and grandpa and neighbors and guests, a approved treat jar. Get yourself a little plastic container, a little Tupperware, whatever, a little screw top that was from something else. And not glass, please, because obviously glass can get knocked over. And have maybe a handful of treats in there. And so if anybody feels the need to break your rules, give your pet something that it really shouldn't have, at least they're giving it something that is okay, that isn't going to make it sick. Because a lot of times people will try to sneak turkey or whatever. Now, turkey on its own isn't necessarily bad. It may make your pet sleep a little bit. But in your stuffing, there's typically onion and garlic. In the sauce, in the gravy that you put, there's typically flour, there's onion, there's garlic, there's all different things that really might not be very good for your pet. So again, if you have something and people really want that and they want to give something, have the treat jar there, because yes, it's bad for people to feed behaviorally from the table because it makes the pets beg. But we can get through that. But the people who are going to do it anyway, just because they wanted that last chocolate chip cookie, instead of them giving something that is dangerous or harmful for your pet, this way at least they have an out. And then you kind of, you know that your pet at least is going to survive that better than normal. The other great thing is, you know, keep your pet, when you guys are eating, keep your pet in another room, because this way if something does fall or somebody drops a glass, we all know somebody who's walking or a child toddling along and bumps something and something breaks. And the first one there is your dog or your cat, typically. So help your pet to not have to deal with those issues. And also the stress just of having, you know, 20 or 30 unfamiliar people in the house. I know that if I had the option of not being with all the friends and family, I would rather be in a back bedroom, and I'm a human. So think about that. How does your pet feel? And if somebody's ill or somebody's, you know, not thinking well, or, you know, you have somebody who's not quite all there, you know, they're not going to follow the rules, and we just don't want to have a disaster happen. And unfortunately, what's different when the holidays are here and your pet is there versus when it's just you and your immediate family. Your immediate family, hopefully, knows better than to give the pet certain things, or knows better than to feed the pet from the table or give it something that would not be appropriate. Whereas guests, they may not even be doing it intentionally, but they may drop something and not pick it up, and it might have something that's bad. And why chance it? So let your pet have a little in his dinner after everybody's done and gone, have a little unseasoned turkey. You can have some of the vegetables, like mini carrots that just have butter on it, or whatever your pet likes that's safe for him, put it in his bowl. All I know is, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, we have more emergencies coming into our facility than any other time of the year. And it's always people who are, they're crying, they're upset, they left grandma and grandpa home, and it just ruined the whole holiday. So prepare for it and make sure that you don't do those things that could become a problem. The next thing really is, how do we make our pet a part of our holiday gatherings? How do we give our dogs, our cats, our pets joy, like joy to the world that there's no garlic in the mashed potatoes that grandpa just gave, right? We want to make sure that they have a great time too. So if your pet, if you have a friendly, a lab, a golden, you have a ridgeback, and they're, you know, a little Havanese, and the dog loves everybody, well, that's fine for them to be included. But I'm still going to come back to, while you're actually eating, I don't think that's the appropriate time for the pet to be there, even if everybody's following rules, because someone's going to drop something. So if you want to make your pet a part of your holiday, you can even get a little pet costume. They have these adorable little, you know, you can use them for Halloween, you can use them for Thanksgiving, or whatever. Get your pet they have these little antlers. You get your pet a little set of antlers or a little bandana on your lab, because nothing looks cuter on a lab than a bandana. And get a Christmas bandana and make sure it's not too tight, and make sure that it's not going to get too tight. And things like that, where you can include your pet. And when people come over, the pet can be a part of that. But when you're eating, when you're sitting down, when you're having your coffee, you know, let the pet just rest for that hour that you're eating. And then they can enjoy it more, because, listen, after Thanksgiving, let's face it, after we eat that meal, nobody's moving anywhere. So that's a really good time after everybody eats for your pet to be able to enjoy sitting on the couch, if you allow it, getting petted, smelling new smells, checking everybody's feet, you know, making sure nobody's sick and nobody's, you know, done something silly. So that's always a great time, is actually after your meal. But let your pet relax and not have to deal with the doorbell ringing and having 30 people come in and getting excited and back and forth, especially if you have a pet that tends to get excited, which we're going to talk about now. Let's say we have a pet, let's say we have a dog, and the dog, for whatever reason, isn't really comfortable around strangers. And you say, well, but it's in our home and they're coming in one at a time. We all know that doesn't happen, right? We have one family comes in and they just start quieting down, and then there's another one, and then somebody else comes. So the best thing to do for that, if you have, let's say, grandma and grandpa who want to visit with Fido or Fluffy, then have grandma and grandpa there ahead of time. Let them come an hour early so they can spend a little quality time. And then when the guests that are unfamiliar are coming, then you can put your pet up so that he or she can just kind of enjoy just, you know, being left alone. The great thing is about it also is, by bringing the pets in, not just when everybody's calmed down after they've eaten a giant meal, but after they leave, your pet will go up and smell the areas where everyone was sitting and standing and the items that they were touching. And it's a great way, as we've talked about in the past ad infinitum, to get your pet used to all the people. Think about how, especially with dogs, how do dogs know who somebody is? They go and they stick their nose in an inappropriate place for humans, and they can smell that person. I just had a patient 2 days ago who said, why is it that my dog always sticks his nose up everybody's crotch? Why? What's with the crotch? And I said, well, you know, fortunately, humans don't have to do it that way, but that is the area that typically exerts the most amazing volume of smells, let's say it nicely, and it exudes whatever we smell like. So when we sit down on furniture, the dog typically will come over and smell where we were, which is also, interestingly enough, how dogs typically can tell that a woman is pregnant. Is because somebody was sitting there and now the dog smells not just the mom smell, but smells the baby smell as well. So dogs do that, and armpits is another place because that's where most of our smell is. Feet, that's where a lot of our smell is. So what we can do is, if you, especially if you have a larger dog, is, you know, kind of warn people, say, you know, he's going to say hi, you know how he says hi, kind of laugh it off a little bit. And the other part of that is, you know, if your dog is inappropriate with that, you know it's happening, practice beforehand. It's okay for the dog to sniff, but remember, dogs don't need to dig their nose somewhere for it to be able to smell. They can typically smell from about 4 feet away, wherever somebody is. So a dog can tell another animal or another person, they can tell that person who that is from about 4 feet away. If you have a special needs pet, maybe you have a dog who's getting a little older, the eyesight's going, the hearing's going. Guess what? That smell is going to be the last thing to go. So when they might have seen grandma and grandpa a year ago, but now because their eyesight is failing, not just grandma and grandpa, but your dog as well, the dog may not recognize them. So don't let people stick their faces by your dog's face, even if it's a great dog, until you know and you feel safe that that dog is sure who that is. Because I see altogether too many times when I have, even with my dogs who are great with everybody, but I'll have a family come over to look at puppies or have a family come over for a service dog. And the first thing everybody does is stick their face in the dog's face. And I tell them, now with my dogs, you're safe doing that. But please don't do that with other dogs, even people's dogs that you know, because the dog, a lot of dogs don't like it. If the animal comes over on its own, you have a much greater chance of having a great interaction than if you grab the dog's face and pull it towards you and have to give it a kiss. Remember back when we were all little kids and you'd be at a wedding or a bar mitzvah or, God forbid, a funeral or just some family gathering. And there was always like great Aunt Sophie, who you'd never met. And you're like 8 years old. You have no idea who this lady is, especially before we had all this with video calling and video chat. And Aunt Sophie, who knew you since you were a baby because Aunt Sophie sent you cards, she sent you birthday gifts, and Aunt Sophie comes up to you, grabs you by the cheeks, and pulls you toward her, and all you want to do is get away because you're like, I don't know who you are, but please leave me alone. Well, animals are like that, but how does an animal react versus a child who says, you know, backs away? An animal just might bite or might growl or do something inappropriate. And that's not fair to the animal. Every animal deserves to have peace and quiet, the same as the, you know, joy to the world in this season. Give your dog, give your cat joy. Don't make him do things. Don't force him to do things. Okay? So one of the last things that I want to cover is, how do you create a safe environment for your pet, not just every day, but especially on the holidays? Well, one of the things is to have, as Dr. Jody was telling us, phone numbers. Phone numbers are invaluable. Have your vet, if your vet is kind enough to give you a cell phone or if they have a pager where they can be reached kind of quickly, but do a little bit of reading. Just look up, you know, hey, things I should do to keep my pet safe. And actually, there are many, many websites, and we'll go into those next week, that you can reach out to that have trusted information with experts. So one is to make sure you know what things, what medications, what foods are not appropriate for your pet, and also what to do. But also contact, I would check it online, but I would also actually call each of the vet places. if you're anywhere in the suburban area, or if you're not out too far in the middle of the country, you probably have several options for a veterinarian. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, a 24-hour emergency and specialty center. It can be just your local veterinarian, because honestly, in the Midwest and in the center of the United States, where we don't have as many of these, you know, clinics, the vets who are there, like our vet who's out in Missouri, he knows everything, and he lives right like one house away from his clinic. And we have more than once contacted him 11 o'clock at night and said, "Hey, doc, we've got a dog who's got something going on. We think he got stung by something," and he's there. So your local doctor, your local veterinarian may be willing to do that, and you should talk to them about it and have a second one, have a backup. And then what we're also going to talk about in the future, like we have in the past, but I think that's something that is really never too much information, because the more you know, the more you can save your pet, the more you can do a good job doing what you do, is having a safety, like a basically a first aid kit. And you can have things in there, like one of the things that I tell everybody to have in there in case there's bleeding or a cut or something like that, there are things called like bleed stop and different ones for pets. It's a little packet, and it actually, they use very similar or identical material in battle. So in war, you'll see people, they have this packet of this bleed stop. So if somebody does get a really bad bleed, they can use that. Well, that's a really handy thing to have for your pet. God forbid your pet gets cut or something, and it's a really bad bleed, you can do that. You should have vet wrap, which is like a rubberized self-adhesive wrap, kind of like, think about the old time ACE bandage, but it sticks to itself, so it's great. And you should have rolls of gauze. You should have some pads of gauze, have some Telfa so that you can put that directly on a wound. There are things like that that you can have. And then what you should do is take a stuffed animal and practice bandaging body parts on the stuffed animal. It's a really, really fun activity to do with your kids and your spouse or your roommate or your significant other, is everybody takes a roll and takes that, and you all kind of watch one of the first aid videos, and you can watch and have everybody practice, because the problem with that is a lot of times people put it too loosely or too tight. And if you put it too tight, is almost worse than not doing anything at all, because you can cut circulation off completely. So something like that, that would be a fun family activity. Let's all get our favorite stuffed animal and bandage a body part. Let's bandage a leg. Let's bandage, you know, a foot. And then this way you'll know what to do and everybody will be prepared. Another thing is to have is always try to have some hydrogen peroxide. Your veterinarian, when you call, might tell you if your dog ingested something very toxic to use hydrogen peroxide. Do not do this on your own without contacting your veterinarian, and preferably prior, so that the veterinarian can give you your information on your pet. But if you know that your pet has potentially ingested something toxic, you can contact poison control and you can contact your local veterinarian and find out what you should do with it. But it's better to have it than not to have it. Another thing that is very important is at this time of year, a lot of the animals are eating things that are maybe not great for them. Maybe they've got a little allergy. They get a little ear infection. So get ear wipes and, you know, make sure that you're keeping the ears very, very clean and learn how to do that. Make sure your pets have their toenails trimmed regularly so that their toenail doesn't get caught in something. And then, you know, you have a toenail bleeding all over the place. There are so many different things that we can do, but the most important part of it is just to be prepared, like the old Boy Scout adage, right? Be prepared. Be prepared, because in that preparation and in that knowledge that you will have of like, hey, if something happens, I can handle it. I know what to do with it, is where your power is. And that's how you save your animals at this time. And the most important part, of course, is prevention. Let's prevent these things from happening by all the things we've discussed, not just with Dr. Jody, but today with you and me. And let's try to make this a really great, safe holiday for us, for our pets, and for everybody, so we're not stressing. Well, of course, it's time again to go, and I hate this moment that I have to say goodbye, but we will be here next week with another wonderful guest, and wishing everybody happy, healthy, and safe holiday season.